So my boy Chuck Klosterman has a new book out. I started reading it. It's pretty interesting. It's called Fictional Nonfiction or something like that. And what it is it's, I think, 34, 30 some real short stories. And it's a kind of fiction written as nonfiction, or it's kind of like a fictional premise, but then explored in an almost nonfictional way. So, for example, the first story is about a guy who's on like a first class flight, and he goes to the bathroom and sees like a puma sitting there. And so then he returns to his seat. He, quickly closes the door, returns to his seat, and talks to the guy next to him. And the guy next to him is like, "Okay, what are your top theories on why you saw what you saw? Like, did you really see it? What's going on?" So on and so forth. And so they, in this fictional story of this thing happening, they explore in a non-fictional way. So basically, the story is like, how does it play out if you were on an airplane and you thought you saw a puma in the bathroom? And like, what's your move and what happens after that? So on and so forth. And I was looking, whenever he has a book come out, he usually makes some appearances on some different podcasts. So I was looking to see if he was on anything I liked. And I saw on his Twitter he had a pinned tweet apologizing specifically to librarians for, he was like, "I apologize for that joke I made. I don't think it, worked the right way, and I apologize to the librarians that I offended." Which I thought was hilarious for a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, librarian Twitter is like the bitchiest, worst corner of Twitter that I've ever seen. And most people have never really seen it because they don't really pay a lot of attention to it. And then every once in a while it comes out of the woodwork. But what happens is basically, I think librarian Twitter exists mostly to, somebody says something against librarians or libraries, and then librarian Twitter goes apeshit, right? And just like fucking completely trashes the person. And then they like apologize because it seems like there's a billion people tweeting a billion things and the entire world hates them. And I'm here to tell you some truths about that. Number one, librarian Twitter is like a corner of the internet, so you don't have to worry about it. This is my opinion. As somebody who has experienced librarian Twitter, watched it, and so on. But here's what bothers me about librarian Twitter. Librarian Twitter is very rabid and very much likes to pile on people and, reaffirm that libraries are important and what librarians do is so important and blah, blah, blah. And the sort of irony of that is like twofold for me. Number one, I'm like, I notice you guys are all doing this at like 1 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. When like people are normally at working. I mean, is it part of your job as a librarian to be on librarian Twitter, lambasting Chuck Klosterman because he said something bad about libraries? Like, even if he did, this happens a lot, right? Like, if a Forbes publishes an article about like, "Oh, libraries should be privatized," or "Amazon should just handle libraries," or whatever. And then it's like librarian Twitter's in a fucking uproar. The last time this happened, the guy who wrote the article like tweeted and was basically like, "Look, I say uncle to librarian Twitter, like, stop tweeting at me. I was wrong. I admit I was wrong. Enough. I'm done." And but that's because there was such an uproar online, right? But here's the thing, librarian Twitter. You're doing this in the middle of the day when supposedly you're doing all these super important things that the community values you for. But you also have time to sort of scour the internet and see any time that librarian Twitter has, a crisis. And to me, it feels a little bit like, it's like, how come entrepreneur Twitter doesn't do this? And it's like, maybe because they're like doing things. Maybe because they're busy doing things. And I would love to encourage librarian Twitter, when something like this happens, to say, you know, should I pile on and tweet about this as well, or should I do something, you know, should I clean my email inbox? Should I work on that presentation I'm supposed to do? Should I revise a class curriculum for 30 seconds? Because I can tell you what the correct answer is. And it's like, hey, the other thing is, to me, if all this stuff was so important, if, like, libraries and all that's so important, then you won't have to defend yourself. Things that people really enjoy and things that are really of quality and things that people love don't have to defend themselves. People will come to their defense. Or no one will give a shit when someone talks shit about them, because everyone else will be like, eh, I mean, I don't really agree with you. I had a guy I was with, and he was talking shit about Toyotas. And I was like, I mean, they've served me pretty well throughout my life. But I didn't even bother to defend it, because I was like, well, I don't, what do I care? I don't think that this person's critique of Toyota is going to go real far. And I don't feel like I need to jump in and correct him or something like that. So I'm like, yeah, fuck it. And I feel like Librarian Twitter needs to chill out a little bit. And maybe Librarian Twitter needs to... Maybe the goal of Librarian Twitter should be like, you know, the next time something like this happens, maybe it should be our goal to see that our users and patrons jump to our defense instead of us having to defend ourselves. Like, I would love to see, hey, don't fuck around with libraries, because people are like, I use my library all the time. That would be a lot more compelling to me than the way it goes now, which is a bunch of librarians complaining or yelling or whatever, when I'm saying, I mean, shouldn't you guys be working and doing all these great things that you're saying libraries do? Like, come on. Does it have to be one or the other? No, it doesn't have to. But, come on. You're making the case for everyone else, and I think that's a big mistake. So don't do it. Don't make the case for them. You make the case for you. There's another thing. Chuck Klosterman one time issued an apology in the form of a financial apology, because so this lady got all on him because she had a special needs son. And he had used the word retarded pejoratively in some of his books. And he, you know, she kind of was getting on his case about it. And instead of getting mad or whatever about it, he made a pretty significant financial donation to, I don't even know what it was, but, you know, some legitimate charity involved with working with people with special needs. And that was kind of what he did. And he unequivocally apologize and whatever. And I was like, maybe that was the smartest move. But I don't know if I respected it. And it's something I do like about him is he thinks differently than I do and makes choices that I would never make, in his prose or things that he's interested in or whatever. And I do find it interesting. So I'm like, well, I guess that does line up with that, is that he makes a choice, and I wonder why, and I'm curious about it, and, you know, I'm like, I don't know if that's the way I would go, but I mean, that's part of why probably he's Chuck Klosterman, and I'm Pete. But I was a little bit like, I was angry at this lady for getting all uptight about it, because he didn't go into this, but I was like, the books you're talking about were written in the 90s. And in the 90s, that was a thing we did. I mean, this is very, very similar to getting mad at Mark Twain for using the N-word, right? Because it's like, but that was the way people talked at that time. And so while I can understand that, hey, the way we talked at one time, that doesn't justify its existence in current life, I think there's definitely something to be said for, hey, that's the way I wrote the book in 1996, and if I wrote that book in 2019, I wouldn't use the same language. And so I understand that there's an immediacy for you here, like if you're reading it in 2019, but I mean, for me, it's kind of like that was a thing I did then that I wouldn't do now, and it's a different standard, right? I mean, there are things that I did when 10 years ago that I wouldn't do now, and I think anyone who couldn't say that in full honesty is like, so you haven't grown at all as a person. You think the exact same way you did when you were 20? That's fucking crazy. So anyway, I don't know. I wasn't happy about it, but part of me wondered if he did it because it was like, I mean, if you do that, then there's not really a lot the person can say. There's not a lot the person can say as far as like, well, he apologized. He put his money where his mouth is. And, you know, he can't really change the text of the books. I mean, that's not a realistic thing to do regardless, you know, of how you feel about it. So he basically did as much as he could be expected to do, and then even a little more, above and beyond in terms of apologies. And I don't know. I think I don't like the apology as much. I think the idea of apology and that somebody is owed an apology because you did something that had nothing to do with them. And I guess it's an intent and impact discussion, right? But I feel like intent is important. And also, I'm just kind of like, I don't know, it feels very squeaky wheel to me, I guess. It feels very like, oh, someone complained and whatever. And I have to wonder if, I wonder how that person felt. This is like when I'm laying awake at night, I'm like, I wonder if that person was satisfied with what happened, if they were like, this is the kind of outcome I was hoping for, or if there was a deep, dark part of them that was like, I kind of want to make a big deal of this and score. I basically wanted to dunk on somebody, and this was my shot to do that, and he fucked it up for me. And I can never express that, because then that would show my real feelings, and my real feelings are kind of horrid. But damned if that's not how I really feel.